Welcome, Church, to another Lighthouse podcast. My name is Pastor Jeff Glenn. It's my privilege and pleasure to be able to take you through the Word and dig a little deeper in these sessions. And so we've finished up the Paul's letter to the Philippians last week. And so I thought we would take a look at John's first letter here. And as he begins his letter, we'll just read that. He says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled." So you remember that John, he was a son of Zebedee, as he was called, but he and his brother were called the sons of thunder by Jesus. And this was after around the time that they had asked Jesus if they should call down fire from heaven on a town that refused them hospitality. They were traveling town to town, and a town had kind of thrown some rocks at them and been inhospitable. And so that response is intense, right? Just because you're not given hospitality to call down thunder. But that was John, right? He was an intense dude, he and his brother. So not only did he write this letter, but he wrote two others. He wrote a gospel and the book of Revelation. And so it's interesting because the book of Revelation is, you could describe it as intense. So it's no wonder that John was whom Jesus chose to reveal, you know, all that's in the book of Revelation, right? The end of the age, the second coming of Jesus, the millennial kingdom, all of those things, right, that's contained in the last book of the Bible, all those intense things given to John to reveal to us. And so our focus over the next few weeks will be his first letter. And it really emphasizes the basics of Christian life. This was John's passion later on, was to help Christians in their walk. So the first interesting thing to note is the change in John's focus. So while John never lost his intensity, he did direct it and used it and focused on different things as his ministry progressed. So after Jesus' ascension into heaven, we see a dramatic shift in where John was focusing his attention. So previously, he and his brother, as we see in the Gospels, they would argue over who was the greatest in the kingdom. And we even see that the mom asked if he and his brother could sit one at the right hand and one at the left hand of Jesus in this kingdom. And so this was their focus, right? Their focus was on self and their position in this kingdom that they thought was coming. And so that's quite remarkable, right? So we see the shift from directing his intensity to promoting himself. He's now focusing intently, but with the same intensity, right? With the same fervor towards the gospel and the building up of the church. So that's really a quite remarkable shift in priorities, right? From self to others, to the gospel. And that's really only possible through God's providence. Certainly, you know, for John, we see as he walked with Jesus for nearly 3 years, and he was part of the inner circle, right? And, you know, that didn't hurt his experience, and it didn't hurt his transformation either. But we also see a big and equal part of that was experiencing this loss and disappointment, right? So John and his brother, right, they had high expectations, right? Beyond, you know, they were higher than just watching Jesus being betrayed and going to the false trial and then being crucified, right? They never, like, processed that. They never saw that coming. That wasn't what they thought they were signing up for when they began to follow Jesus, right? But, you know, they thought that the kingdom of God had come then when Jesus entered Jerusalem, right? They knew his ministry. They had followed him. They had certainly seen him as Messiah, but they didn't quite understand what Jesus was saying about the kingdom. They thought it would be then. And so John must have thought that he and his brother would indeed be sitting at the right and left hand of Jesus in this kingdom that, by the way, would replace the Roman occupying force that was in Jerusalem, right? So, like, imagining, you could imagine his zeal, right, to be that how he would right all of those wrongs that the occupying Roman army had perpetrated upon Israel in Jerusalem, right? So he could be imagining these things then that he would be doing to set things right and to make all of the oppression, make that right. Even though Christ foretold of his death and resurrection, you know, John couldn't process that, right? It just didn't compute. And he wasn't alone, right? The other apostles and the other disciples, they couldn't comprehend it either, even though Jesus told them leading up to his death what was happening. So we see this. This is what came to pass, right? Jesus did indeed see betrayal, false trial, imprisonment, and ultimately crucifixion and death. And so as John was holding on with these other disciples through the weekend, he saw in the morning, as he did with Mary, this empty tomb, and he saw it for himself. But even then, it didn't click for John. It wasn't until later that evening when he saw it for himself that things would change for John. And so that's where they were at, right? John saw the empty tomb. He returned to go back with the other disciples, and they weren't hiding, right? We see that the description through the gospel is they were hiding behind a closed, locked door, and they were afraid. They were afraid that the Jews were going to come for them, right? And so after experiencing this life with Jesus and being so bold as to consider calling down thunder, John is hiding behind a closed door, a locked closed door. But Jesus sought them out again. And so despite their clandestine location and the locked closed door, Jesus came and found them, and he stood in their midst. And he declared to them peace, and he imparted the Holy Spirit to them, which that's the point, that's the turning point. So it wasn't John's intense nature, it wasn't his faith, it wasn't his resolve or his ambition to rule alongside Jesus in this temporal kind of replacement kingdom. It wasn't any of that. It was Jesus' continual pursuit of him. It was God's continual presence with him through the Holy Spirit that changed the focus of his life from this one of self-promoting to proclaiming the gospel and to writing to encourage others in their faith, right? And so just as John had misconceptions about the kingdom and his place in it, I suspect that many of us would have similar misconceptions as well, right? Like, what is my place now? You know, we are in the similar position, right? So Christ is with the Father. He's creating a place for us to come. He's going to one day come and call us to him. And as much as we can try to wrap our minds around that and kind of see what that might mean for us, we're here and we're left here for a reason. And so we might have some misconceptions about our place in that. You know, I know that I certainly have in my life. But the encouraging word in all of this is that it doesn't depend on your perfect understanding, right? It doesn't depend on how well you can articulate what Jesus has revealed to us in his word, right? So John wrote to us a lot of things. We can read through those things and see what God has revealed to us, but still not quite understand them. But that's not where the power is, right? Your place in the kingdom or your level in it doesn't come down to what you understand of it. It's about Jesus' provision and his continual presence with us through the Holy Spirit that he's given us, right? And so that's the encouragement, is to lean into that, lean into Jesus' power, his understanding, his promise to return, and to rest in his love and provision. And so I hope that's encouraging for you today. Go out and be blessed.